Haters, patriots, freedom lovers, we're back. We're live behind the Sam Nation microphone, deep behind the orange curtain in our undisclosed location, namely the Sweet James Studio. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, and we're live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I took a week off for Thanksgiving and had a great trip. I might tell you about that a little bit later, but we have work to do. So, this sexual harassment business is really heating up in interesting ways, I think illustrative of a point that needs to be made, which is these sexual harassment accusations. For Democrats, they're never about sexual harassment, historically speaking. I came of age, I remember this vividly, I remember Justice Clarence Thomas being confirmed, his confirmation hearings in the Senate, where an accuser came forward. If you remember the story, was accused of sexual harassment, and there was talk of, I mean, this is crazy stuff, right? And Clarence Thomas was caught completely off guard by it. And it was the first time I remember talking to my parents about it at the time. I said, this is insane. They haven't proven anything. He hasn't admitted to anything. Why is he guilty of this if he hasn't done it? Because by the time he squeaked through the confirmation hearing, what happened? Clarence Thomas was destroyed. He was destroyed. His reputation was in tatters, and it has been a stain on him since then. The left has always used these type of accusations to level and destroy conservatives. And one of the reasons it is such a nifty little device is precisely because it's so terrible. I mean, nobody wants to be an abuser, let alone a serial abuser of women. It's criminal in some cases, and certainly bad form and boorish in the least. And I think the left also enjoys leveling the conservatives because, of course, conservatives are oftentimes defenders of things like family values and virtue. So that is why it's this convenient trick. And I say trick because Democrats right now should absolutely and happily and gleefully, not gleefully, but somberly at least, be so pleased that they have Al Franken, and the latest one is John Conyers, who's been in Congress since, I think, 63, 64. Anyway, he's been in Congress since the beginning of time. Dinosaurs roamed the earth when John Conyers was first elected. And they have this great opportunity to take the moral high ground. I mean, they've been barking up Judge Moore's tree for the last month and a half. So if Judge Moore should quit the race and tuck his proverbial tail between his legs and slinker off somewhere in a dark hole and hide, and is truly undeserving to be in the Senate for accusations, at this point, unproved accusations that happened 40 years ago, then surely people who have admitted to wrongdoing and who are in Congress should be out. It only makes sense. It's the perfect time. It's the perfect time for Democrats to put their money where their mouth is. But they're not doing it. And here is, in her own words, Nancy Pelosi. Now listen. Listen to this. Because this is Chuck Todd on Sunday, Meet the Press. And he's talking about zero tolerance, you know, because this is a big thing. There's zero tolerance. We are not accepting any form of harassment, of toxic masculinity. I mean, this is the new esprit in Congress and in our society today. So, you saw the revelations. John Conyers had settled a sex harassment suit. One of his accusers is now represented by Lisa Bloom. You know, Lisa Bloom is, of course, a prominent rabble-rouser in this field. She's representing the woman. The woman had gotten, I think, $27,000 of our money, of tax dollars that were paid to her. And as part of the settlement, the terms of it were confidential. She's bound to confidentiality. Lisa Bloom did the stunt today where she released a statement saying, release her from confidentiality. Release my client so she can tell her story. Anyway, it doesn't work that way. But this is the news that's going on. So it's another prominent Democrat that's after Al Franken, who's being accused of sexual improprieties. And you would think that the Democrats would take this opportunity and claim moral high ground. Instead, here you have this exchange with Chuck Todd and Nancy Pelosi.
You said there's now a zero tolerance.
Yes.
John Conyers, what does that mean for him right now?
Let's say
in or out.
We are strengthened by due process. Mm-hmm. Just because someone is accused, and was it one accusation? Is it two? I think there has to be. John Conyers is an icon in our country. He has done a great deal to protect women. Violence Against Women Act, which the left wing, right wing is now quoting me as praising him for his work on that, and he did great work on that. But the fact is, as John reviews his case, which he knows, which I don't, I believe he will
Why
do.
Don't you?
I believe that
well,
he.
How
will,
is it that
excuse
you
me,
don't?
May I finish my
sure,
sentence?
Sure.
That he will do the right thing.
Ah, so as long as John Conyers did a lot to protect women in passing the Violence Against Women's Act, then I guess he gets a pass. And all of a sudden, Nancy Pelosi wants to talk about due process. This never was about due process. I've harped on this from the beginning. The thing that upsets me so much is an accusation is never enough. It should never be enough to destroy somebody's life. Here's my standards. I'll go through it again. There's an accusation. It starts there. If there's a denial, I want to hear the evidence. And I want there to be some process by which that evidence is decided. If there's a criminal case, it obviously goes to the authorities. If there's an election, if there's a political election like we have here with Judge Moore, there ought to be the election. Let the voters decide. But you don't. But now, if there's an admission, remember, like if there's an admission, right? Then case closed for me. Yeah, accusation, admission, move on, done deal. And by the way, isn't that what we had from Franken? That's exactly what we had from. We've got an accusation and we have an admission, along with endless babbling apologies. So yes. When it comes to John Conyers, by all means, Nancy Pelosi says, but it's this thing called due process, and it's very important, and we must have it, we must respect it, we must allow the process to take its course. But then when it comes to Roy Moore, Pelosi called him a child molester. Okay? See, this makes zero sense to me. But it does, essentially. Because it's a political play. It's a cheap political play. And it was always used. It's kind of like the McCarthy trials. You got up there and Joe McCarthy got up and said, that guy over there is a communist. And now that taint of him being labeled or her being labeled a communist was enough to destroy a career, was enough to get that person fired from their job, was enough to get that person dismissed from an important, position, was enough to put a stink on that person that followed them for a significant period of time until McCarthyism and the process surrounding it was discredited itself. If you are a man, and believe me, this thing's going to spread to women. I just do, right now there's this fight against toxic masculinity. Ladies, do not think for a minute that you are exempted from this. It's a matter of time before sexual harassment cases start to emerge about women. I have seen it, by the way. I worked at this place. I long time ago, like 15 years, I saw a female boss sexually harass an underling. Anyway, it happens. Just not many men complain about it. At any rate. But it happens. So it's a matter of time for that to hit the fan. But listen, this you cannot be left to stand that a mere accusation can upend and turn upside down somebody's world. Women are going to act, accusers are going to lie. They're going to fabricate. They're going to exaggerate. Heavens knows we've got prosecutors who Trump charges up and build cases out of nothing, and juries routinely shoot those cases down. There is a process for it, and processes must be followed. By the way, the whole idea that this is a narrative, I'll bolster this with the end of the interview that I just played the first clip of, Nancy Pelosi continuing to talk about this with Chuck Todd, and she's, well, listen to this exchange.
Unfortunately for time, I got to end it there. I appreciate you coming on.
You mean we're not even going to talk about taxes? You have fallen into the place where they are doing something that's going to increase the debt enormously. It's going to be a job killer, and it's going to raise taxes on the middle class. And really, we should be spending more time on that.
Do you think this other issue isn't as serious?
I think it's enormous. Look, as a woman, right, mother of four daughters, I think it's enormously important. But I think that we have to have a balance in how we go forward, because
I struggle with this myself every day.
This is giving them cover. There's so many reasons that we should be concerned about the Republican majority in Congress.
Anyway, Leader Pelosi, I have to leave it there. I appreciate it.
That's disappointing.
See now, okay. When Clarence Thomas, I have to keep harping on this because it's a pivotal moment. It really was a pivotal moment in our nation's history. I remember him getting grilled by Ted Kennedy. Are you kidding me? Ted Chappaquiddick Kennedy grilling Clarence Thomas about disrespecting women. And I was looking at this and scratching my head and going, huh? Because you realize you had a guy who was remains, right, Clarence Thomas. But at the time when he was being confirmed, this was momentous. You had a phenomenally brilliant, accomplished black jurist who was set to make history on the Supreme Court. And you couldn't have that. You couldn't have a successful black conservative on the court in a high-profile position. We must ruin him at all costs. Enter Anita Hill. They turned the conversation deliberately and manipulatively. They turned it by using an accuser and an unfounded accusation. And here you have Nancy Pelosi. Now it's turned around onto her. They've created this monster. They've created a world where accusations are all that you need. They have created a world where you're guilty before you're proven innocent. And now it's turning around on them, and she's apoplectic. You see, she's just... It's kind of funny if it weren't so sad. She wants to talk about her agenda items. She wants to talk about taxes. She wants to talk about the economy, the middle class. She wants to talk about all this stuff. And she can't, because gosh forbid Chuck Todd wants to talk about Conyers. They're so used to friendly media. They're so used to being coddled. They're so used to controlling this dialogue, and especially this weapon, this weaponized world. That now it's gotten out of hand. Now you've got their owner coming in the crosshairs. This is not supposed to happen. It's not John Conyers, the icon. He's a black liberal. You can't do that. You can't attack him. and they're in shock. They're literally in shock. Weinstein's not supposed to happen to him. Sexual harassment is something that white conservatives do. Evil men, you know, bigots, racists, and homophobes, those type of people, those are the sexual harassers out there. Heavens forbid, not a nice man like John Conyers. And Al Franken, well, boy, we got to give him a pass. If I have to compare some headlines today, where is it here? Oh, yes. Al Franken battling for his political life, apologizes for groping. You read this article. It's literally three pages. Okay. Not quite three pages long from the New York Times. And it's just It's a puff piece. It's like he said he's sorry. It's everything's good. And then you move over to Moore. Why? Let's see here. What does he say? Oh, yeah. Why Trump stands by Roy Moore even as it fractures his own party. And you know how many pages this is? This is 8 pages. 8 pages of the New York Times explaining why Roy Moore is a terrible person. You've got an admission in one and a denial in the other. It ought to matter. By the way, that race has heated up. I don't know if you saw that there was a fake accuser that came forward. You heard about this drama. It's kind of unfolding right now in real time. A little bit earlier today, but this evening it really hit the fan. Yeah, the Project Veritas sent a fake accuser to go to the Washington Post. And the Washington Post ran with the story. I'll give you some details on this when we come back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Happy Monday night. We're here. We're live. We're back after a week off. Thank you for covering for me here. And I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoyed time with family. I hope the political conversations weren't too heated. I should have recommended that if somebody starts asking you a political question, just put a turkey leg in your mouth. You know, just like put some dumplings in, whatever it takes, stuffing, and put it in your mouth, start chewing loudly, and hope enough time passes they forget the question. The phone number, if you'd like to be on the program tonight, 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. How close, by the way, do you think that election in Alabama is? I mean, you've had every giant news media outlet cover Roy Moore from top to bottom, going through every crevice of his past. Accusers as young as 14 coming forward saying, oh, anything from untoward advances to attempted rape. How close do you think that race is? Any ideas? Well, the real clear politic average of all the polls, and there are polls taken here on a daily basis now, they're tracking this very closely, has the opponent, the Democrat, up. He's up by 0.8%. That's nothing. It's a dead heat. And by the way, the where they get that real clear politics average, it's an average of all the polls. Some of them are up, some of them are down. And you know what I think of polling, generally speaking. And I also think right now with this being whenever there's a contentious race, a close contentious race, where it is unpopular, shall we say, unpopular to vocalize, express your support for a candidate. I think you get underreporting of support for that unpopular, or at least, you know, supposedly unpopular candidate. So I think in all of this, very likely, Moore gets in. He may squeak across the line. We'll see what happens here in the coming weeks. Elections coming up soon, very soon. What is it, next week or the week after? Very soon. There was an interesting story that kind of fits into this here. There was an accuser that came forward to the Washington Post. This Post ran a story about her, named her Jamie T. Phillips. And this woman claimed that she'd had an abortion after having intercourse with Mr. Moore back in 1992. That would make it a more recent allegation. Very tantalizing, right? Now they would prefer to not just have stuff that happened, you know, 100 years ago. They want stuff that happened more recently. Oh, the election's December 8th. Thanks for looking that up. Soon. Shoot, that's a week and a half. Okay. 0.8%. Crazy. Anyway, so this gal comes forward saying that she had had intercourse with him and that that Mr. Moore had encouraged her to have an abortion. Now, this is a big deal because this guy is, you know, he's more Christian than Christ himself. So, you know, you can't... it's now him coming out, you know, the evidence of him enticing a woman to abort her unborn child. I mean, this really turned the race. Well, it may be that this woman was a plant by Project Veritas, or so it is reported in the New York Times and Daily Mail and other outlets. This is the group that's led by James O'Keefe. He's the undercover video guy. You might know his work from previous busks. And I think what he was trying to go for, if this turns out to be a Project Veritas deal, what he's trying to go for is he wants to see and show us if there's anything odd about the way that these, like Washington Post, in this case, mainstream media outlets, are taking these stories. Are they leading the accusers into a particular narrative? And they may not be. You know, he does a bunch of undercover videos and only publishes the stuff that's, you know, that's not good for his target. But we'll see what comes of this. But it's funny because this is just a state election. This is just a Senate race in Alabama, a state that no one on either the left or the East Coast cares anything about. But it's all hot because it's this key Senate seat and it could hurt Trump. And so now it's so important and so there. Anyway, got a lot more coming up. But right now, we got news with John Wolfe. Up next, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, the voice of reason, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222, if you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is the email. You know what's interesting, too, about what's going on in the Alabama race? There is now a new guy. There is a new contestant who has emerged to save us from Roy Moore. This is a retired Marine colonel. That's colonel, if you are bad at spelling and pronunciation. Retired Marine Colonel Lee Busby. So he said he's going to be a write-in candidate. By the way, historically speaking, do you think these write-in candidates ever succeed? I think these things work. They actually do, but very rarely. So when I talk to you about this race being very close, this guy isn't going to get any traction. But what's interesting about it, well, I said that there's a good chance that Roy Moore will win. And this, in spite of everything that's going against him, but there's already a plan of how to get rid of him. Here is Rick Santorum, who is speaking. He's a former Republican senator, and he's speaking here about what Roy Moore's chances are, but more importantly, what's going to happen after this. So I think and he's speaking for the Republican Party establishment. Let me make that clear. Rick Santorum is GOP establishment. And here's what he says. Very interesting.
I think it'd be very difficult for any Republican senator, particularly those up for re-election, to not vote to expel him. I think there's a very high chance.
Really?
That if Roy Moore gets elected, I think there's a very high chance that he would be expelled from the United States Senate. Look, I mean, there's the issue of the charges, and there's just the brass politics of it, that which is for a man or woman to stand for election in 2018 and to allow someone with these allegations, if they check out, and again, there will be an investigation by the Senate. I think it's an untenable position for most senators to be in.
Rick Santorum is talking out of his money hole. Let me tell you why. Wow. This is their grand scheme. This is their plan. Their plan is, all right, maybe he's going to get elected, but then we're going to boot him in the Senate. We're going to have the Senate Ethics Committee investigate him. And by the way, you see this? He's already guilty. It's preconceived. He's already guilty because the plan will be to boot him. And then you can get Governor Ivey, who's a Republican in the state, to appoint I'm guessing, Luther Strange or some other sensible, mediocre Republican to replace Moore. Now, that's the plan. Do you remember Roland Burris? I only bring this up. Roland Burris is probably the biggest empty nothing that ever hit the U.S. Senate. But do you remember him? Robbie's shaking his head. His beard is dangling in the cool studio air. Let me tell you who Roland Burris is. This is the guy that was appointed by Rod Blagojevich, who is now sitting in Club Fed for the foreseeable future. Burris is the guy who... It was Obama's seat. Remember when Obama became president, he was a senator in Illinois, thank you. He had an empty seat, and Blagojevich began wheeling and dealing behind the scenes, trying to sell the seat. What's in it for me? How much money am I going to get? Got in big trouble. Matter of fact, got arrested, convicted, and is now in jail. But Roland Burris ended up going to the Senate, and it was clear that he was dirty. He was dirty as heck from this whole process. Dirty, dirty, dirty. And he'd had, you know, conversations with the governor about his appointment, et cetera, et cetera. I had to dig this up. ABC News, February 19th, 2009. Despite ethics probe, Senate not likely to expel Senator Burris. The rest of the article follows that general theme. My point being, I guess Roy Moore on unfounded allegations can be booted, but Senator Burris, who buys his way into the Senate, can't be. Okay, I got it. I think I got the logic here. I think I do. I think I understand. All right. Well, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner. Now, listen, this is the guy you need to call if you've been in an accident, you're hurt, maybe you've got the insurance company calling you, or, you know, the nasty person that rear-ended you and they're hassling you. Stop! Don't do it on your own. Don't take their phone calls. Don't get stuck dealing with that nonsense. Call James. It's so easy. His number's easy. So easy, I actually can remember it from time to time. 800-881-2021. That's the number that you remember. And here's the steps. You call him. You talk to him. Or you talk to somebody in his office. They're all good people. You get some good advice. You know what to do. They can help you. And voila, problem's gone, solved. You're moving on your way. You're getting the treatment that you need. And you can move on with your life, and there, that's it. That's what I would do, and that's what you ought to do. So, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. I was talking about write-in elections, right? Write-in elections. The Strom Thurmond back in 1954 won through a write-in campaign. Also, more recently, Lisa Murkowski. Remember, she's the senator in Alaska. 2010, she lost the primary to kind of a more radical upstart Republican. She then won the general election as a write-in candidate, which is a statewide election. So that would kind of literally, very similarly, be to what's going on here, except we don't have an incumbent in the race. And she had big name recognition as the incumbent. So it is possible. But I'm telling you, look, if you care about justice and you care about fairness, you can't before sinking Roy Moore or any Republican, Democrat, or whomever on accusations alone. That's what this whole thing boils down to for me. It's that simple. And you know why? Because I think at the end of the day, these are politicians, right? We don't like politicians, right? We don't like, you know, famous people and annoying guys on the radio. We don't like these guys. We don't like this kind of stuff. But an accusation can be leveled against you, it can be leveled against me, and it can turn our lives upside down. And maybe not publicly, you know, maybe it's not going to be front page news in the Washington Compost. but it can really mess some things up for you. I mean, think about this. You're enjoying your job. Everything's good. You're not touching women or doing anything, you know, naughty. But all of a sudden, somebody somewhere wants your job, sees that you might be a hindrance to their advancement. Very easy. Get together with a friend or two. Claim that you've done some things that were untoward. And trust me, you do not want your entire financial future, professional career to hinge on an accusation or two or three alone. You don't. And it's in this context, by the way, I know, I'm a lawyer, I see this, this happens in the real world all the freaking time. I am not describing to you a fantasy land scenario by any stretch of the imagination, which is why I look at accusations, even against Al Franken at the end of the day. Now he's admitted to it and everything, but I look at it and I go, all right, skeptically, because what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander. And with Conyers, for example, look, just because he settled the lawsuit doesn't mean that he did it. This is really important. Just because settling something doesn't make you guilty. Settling something means you don't want the public embarrassment of an accusation. Because Conyers, being the old slick Democratic Party operative that he is, knows full well how far and how devastating a smear can go toward, you know, putting your career on the back burner. Look, he had to step down from his chairmanship. You saw that? End of last week. Big deal. That's a big deal for him. He's a powerful guy. This can be weaponized not just in the world of politics, but in your life and my life. So it matters to me, and it ought to matter to you. Okay, Sam Rogowski back right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You know, Nancy Pelosi was not the only Democratic Party leader that was calling for due process in relation to John Conyers and Al Franken, both Democratic members of Congress who are accused of impropriety. Sexual harassment. Here's Dick Durbin, a Democrat in New York, responding to Dana Bash. Dana Bash asks him, you know, look, more women have stepped forward against Senator Franken. You know, should he step down? Listen to his answer.
Al Franken has acknowledged what he did was wrong, and it was wrong. He has also submitted his whole case to the Senate Ethics Committee. I think that was the right thing to do. Let's have a hearing, an investigation. Let's let this really reach whatever conclusion it's going to reach, but through a due process. That, to me, makes sense. Others who have tried to run away from charges, you have to say Al Franken has faced it, and he's done it in a responsible way.
Covering for him. And I want to point out something else here that fits into this entire discussion, and it's very important. It's a critical piece of this. When Democrats, when these fascist leftists come out with a charge, with an incendiary charge against a conservative, the first thing that they expect, they want from that conservative, is for the conservative to apologize, to grovel, to make him or herself so small before the powers that be, that they are then compromised forever. And this is, you know, it's sexual harassment is one of the charges of racism. I'm going to talk about the Navajo Code Talker press conference today with Trump. The charges of racism. You know why Trump is so successful? You know why? But really, all kidding aside, it's because he never apologized for all the ridiculous charges that have come at him by Democrats. And by the media, you know, they're enablers. He totally abandoned the typical drop, cover, and roll playbook that most Republicans have operated by. You know, in any, in all regimes that I've studied and I've seen, regimes, I mean, you know, truly oppressive political systems, this is how the powers that be compromise their opponents. They accuse them of some stupid, nonsensical thing. And they get the person to apologize publicly, to grovel, to say they've made a mistake. You see this, by the way, in the North Korea show trials. You saw it with Otto Warmbier. You always have those pictures of the accused standing there, his head down, you know, just, look, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I didn't mean to, and start listing fantastical, imagined crimes. To a lesser extent, this is what the media and the Democrats have been doing to conservatives for years. So if there is any silver lining to any of this, one, that it is turning around and starting to bite the Democrats in their monies, is somewhat humorous to me. I mean, it's a bit of schadenfreude. And two, I think we just have to have a real discussion. This is not who we are as a country. It's not right. And the American public is sick of it. That's why they're electing people like Trump. Okay. The European Union, this is hilarious stuff. They put out a game about taxation. Now, taxation is a big topic because, well, our taxes might be going up and going down depending on who you are. But the European Union loves taxes because Europeans love to tax the heck out of you. And they've released a little game that simulates what it would be like to tax and tax and tax, and it backfired. It backfired like heck, and I want to tell you all about it and why this matters. Stay tuned. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, got the news up next with John Wolf.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're making radio great again. That's us. 1-800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com. Okay, one of my favorite topics. Subjects. We'll say subjects. Is the European Union. I absolutely love to hate on the EU. I'll give you the quick bird's eye view of what I absolutely loathe about it. The EU, the European Union, is an organization that promotes mediocrity. Okay, what do I mean? Well, you take it's a confederation of a union of a bunch of countries in Europe. And whenever somebody has a bad idea, that idea ends up getting put into place and spread across all those member countries. This is how it works. And there's an enormous bureaucracy in place. So imagine we've got our own bureaucracy here in the U.S., right? And it costs money. It costs too much money. And now imagine that we're part of another group of countries and we have to pay for that bureaucracy on top of it. And these people want to regulate everything, like what kind of space heaters we have and what are the thickness of a tire and nonsensical stuff like that, the thickness of an electrical cord. And that's the kind of stuff that they fuss about. Meanwhile, tax rates continue to go up, up and up. Well, the European Union came out. They wanted to educate young people on why taxes are good. This is a common thing that governments like to do. They want to indoctrinate our young people into seeing things their way. The American left has done it by taking over the universities. That's been their MO. Europe, they've thought, well, you know, not everybody goes to college, so we got to get them through a video game. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a video game. So GamingReinvented.com put out a story about this. The headline was European Union releases Taxlandia propaganda game accidentally shoots down entire philosophy. Now, I saw this and I immediately had to go and try to download the game. By the way, that was a non-starter because this is not Mac friendly. And I, your humble host, your faithful servant, I do not do PCs. I told you I'm not into PC anything. So I couldn't play the game. But I went through, I found the website. I couldn't even believe it. They actually call the game Taxlandia. Here's what it says. Enjoy our educational simulation game that explains and promotes tax education. Exclamation point. Boy, I was already keeling over at that point. You are now, goes on to say, you are now in Taxlandia, a tiny European state with gorgeous mountains and clear blue lakes, a popular tourist destination when the economy was booming, and a country with minimal taxes. See, that was bad. The country was booming and had minimal taxes. Now Taxlandia faces an unprecedented crisis. A lot of companies moved their headquarters and tourism decreased. This, by the way, this doesn't happen when your taxes are very low and your economy is booming. That is not when companies leave. That's how these are people who are actually in charge of economic policy in Europe. Do you understand now, by the way, as a little aside, if you're wondering why should I even care about this, do you understand that Trump, love him or hate him, that when he talks about wanting to lower our corporate tax rate, okay, and lower some of our corporate taxes, business taxes, and the like, to make us more attractive in the international marketplace, do you see why he might just have a point? The people in Europe think that you raise taxes and you create a better environment. This isn't true. McDonald's, the European Union started doing all this stuff before Brexit, raising taxes to higher and higher levels in England. In Great Britain, you know what happened? McDonald's, bunch of companies. Where did they move? They moved to Switzerland. Why? Because the tax rate's 20% and not 50. It's a no-brainer. If you're a company, you want to hold on to your cash. You don't even have to be a Nobel Prize-winning economist to figure this thing out. Just think, I'm a greedy capitalist. What do I want to do? I don't know. Maybe I want to hold on to my money. Yep, that's right. It's that simple. But these bozos literally making a game. Okay, what else does it say? Okay, so a lot of companies moved their headquarters. Tourism decreased. Last year, the authorities admitted that it was time to increase taxes. Yes, that is exactly what you do. Just when your economy is in the crapper, you go and you raise taxes. This is sort of like, I don't know, does anybody fly an airplane out there? Just like when you fly an airplane and you're going into a stall. Yeah, exactly. You just decrease power. That's right. Just you know, if the plane's going to fall out of the sky, just don't turn the engines off. Increase taxes to bring companies back. It doesn't work this way. And I'm just illustrating the point here that liberals are stupid everywhere. They're stupid here. They're stupid in Europe. They just do not get it. This is total idiocy. I promise you, not since Sir Isaac Newton sat under an apple tree and watched an apple fall and go, oh, wow, look at this. I can tell you that it is as basic as this. The government cannot do anything better with money that they collect in taxes that a business can't by keeping it and saving it and reinvesting it. The argument that if you take more, because here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take the money in this game and play it. You're supposed to take the money from these companies and from these individuals that are making it. And you're supposed to invest it in schools and invest it in roads and invest it in this and that and the other. And that's the object of the game, to see how much money you can invest. Whenever I hear that the government wants to invest in something, I get nauseous. That is, you know who needs to do, the people that need investing are individuals, funds, companies, corporations. Those are the ones that invest. When they have more money, you know what the things they invest in? They invest in workers. So that means jobs, which are good for the economy. When we invest, when California invests in something, what is it? Oh, yes, high-speed rail. Governor Brown's choo-choo train. What a load of bollocks that is. It's nonsense. This is the type of just silly, stupid stuff that our politicians do. And thankfully, again, thankfully, there's some a degree of homogeny out there, of similitude, of common thinking among international liberals. But you look at these, you look at what's going on in the European Union, and it's not working for them. And this is why tax reform that helps, that lowers and makes our corporate rate more competitive is good. Because we will see companies, it's exactly the opposite of this game, Taxlandia. I'm just telling you that. Exactly the opposite. When you lower taxes, companies want to be in the country that where the lower taxes are. And one of the things I always thought was bad about the European Union is that before, if a company, you know, if one country had a little bit better of a tax system, the companies would move to that country. And this, by the way, we do here in America, right? This is why companies are leaving by the hundreds, if not thousands, fleeing California every year and moving to states, oh, I don't know, like Nevada, where there isn't a state income tax, where corporate taxes and company taxes are very low, if non-existent. It happens. There are reasons why companies and individuals are leaving California. But we're very wise to have a federal system where states have, you know, can set more hospitable climates, because then states can compete. And I wonder, you know, I love California. I love this country. I want to see our country, and I even want to see our state succeed. But we have got to get real with this thinking that you raise taxes and the government invests it in schools and invests it in roads, and all of a sudden, voila, you've got utopia, heaven on earth, and everything is perfect, and, you know, choirs of angels are singing, et cetera, et cetera. This, folks, is not how it works. This is not reality. Totally baffling. So the reason the game failed, by the way, is because the whole purpose of it is you just spend money, and then you realize at the end of playing the game, or so the writer here that's a professional game evaluator goes, well, at the end of this, what you find out is just how the government sits around and spends money on stupid things and why it's not a good idea. Yeah, it's like the exact opposite of Monopoly. It's like, how much money can I just throw out and have no return for it? But But what's more troubling is that this type of propaganda, maybe for some young voters, this actually changes their minds. And so you have a government that is taxing productive citizens in order to convince unproductive citizens, right, the ones that are playing video games at home, unproductive citizens to vote for their harebrained schemes. You want to talk about a subversion of democracy? This is it. And this is why we have to fight back here with all this nonsense going on in our colleges. I think if more parents stood up and said, no, I am not paying that ridiculous tuition bill at Brown, at Harvard, at UCLA, at Stanford, or wherever, and said, I'm not paying for it. That's nonsense. The stuff that you're teaching little Johnny about trigger warnings and safe zones and microaggressions. I'm not going to stand for it. It'd be a good thing, because I really, truly worry about this next generation who's learning more about, I don't know, what is toxic masculinity? They'll know more about toxic masculinity than they will know about basic economics. It doesn't matter what is 600 genders. Yeah, by the time 10 years from now, there will be like 1,000 genders. And you're going to have to sit there with note cards and go, you know, cisgender, transgender, you know, Martian gender, whatever it is. You're going to sit there with, you know, but you will not understand a supply and demand curve. You will not be able to multiply. Not even be able to add. You won't even know how to balance your checkbook. You're going to live in some utopic society where the government balances your checkbook. You just give all your money to the government. And then they put you on a little stipend. We all get the same amount of money and everything's great, fine and dandy. No. What this world needs, we need to get with the program. America needs to be a competitive place where businesses can thrive, can succeed, and can function. We can steal business from other countries who have figured this out already. Ireland, this is a great example. Ireland, before the EU, before all this, they figured it out. What did they have? They had a bunch of rain. They had some bad whiskey, Guinness, and some really, truly, I'm sorry if you're Irish and I'm insulting you. Your food is horrible. That's Ireland's great contribution. No, there's some nice people and some pretty music. Okay. But they had nothing is my point. It was just nothing there. And what did they do? They go, all right, well, there's a lot of economic activity over in continental Europe. We got to seize some of it. And they dropped their tax rate to like nothing. And lo and behold, companies began domiciling themselves in Ireland. Very simple. And they got a lot of traction with it. And it is only the arrogant, stupid fool that thinks, oh, we're going to tax more. We're going to create a great environment. Everything's going to be great and great and great. And it's what we've been doing here in California. And I'm going to ask you objectively, has it worked? Because even Apple, for all its talk that we're in Cupertino and we're California, yay, fairies and elves, where do they keep their money? In Ireland. They got like a... Apple keeps most of its cash outside of the United States. And the problem is that these big corporations, they can do fancy things like that. It's a little bit harder for you and I and for mom-and-pop companies, but we need mom-and-pop companies because, frankly, every big corporation out there started out as a mom-and-pop company. Apple, at one point, was in somebody's garage, right? And all these regulations and high taxes, and the number one thing that it does is it affects small business. It affects the little guy, too. And and you're never going to get big guy if you didn't start out with a little guy. And that's a critical part of this, too. So this is it. You got to understand. The people that think that they know all the stuff about how they're going to create a utopia and they're going to raise taxes and everything, and they're talking about the tax plan right now, they are literally nuts. Most of them. And they fail to recognize a cold, hard truth that corporations, businesses will go to where the hospitable climate is. And it's all about tax rates. You got to make it good for them. And with that, when they succeed and they do well, we all do well, too. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I know we haven't been talking much about North Korea. There is word out today that thanks to Kim Jong-un's missile program, the imminent threat of things happening, Hawaii is on lockdown. They've got Cold War-style alerts in case a nuclear war breaks out. What I think is interesting here, I don't know about these missiles. I'm not a missile expert. But I think to some extent, North Korea may be a little bit of a more of a paper tiger than the media and everybody is saying. And that's because of what we've learned from this North Korean soldier back on November 13th. You hear about this? And one of the North Korean soldiers that's on the border that's guarding the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, made a run for it. He's like, I'm out of here. And he drove his Jeep past some checkpoints. Nobody did anything. Then the Jeep got stuck. And then he made a run for the southern side, for the South Korea side of the border. His own countrymen shot at him. He's in critical condition, but recovering in South Korea. Okay, but this is what's important about it. So the doctor obviously has to put this guy back together. He's been shot a bunch of times. Here is everything that is wrong with him. Well, I'm not going to read the whole list, but this is what I found interesting. First of all, he had some giant tapeworms. This trauma surgeon said these were the biggest tapeworms I've ever seen in anyone. He also had in his stomach, they could find out what his last meal was. He had eaten raw corn. Okay, you know why this is important? Because the North Koreans, they put their best fed, strongest, best looking, tallest, et cetera, guards on the border. Why? For show of strength, right? You don't want to put some, you know, emaciated, you know, shaking, you know, in their boots, weaselly guys on the border standing there, you know, with the Americans and South Koreans, you know, square jawed, you know, steely eyes staring back at them. You don't want to do that. You put your best people out there. Not just also, and also, by the way, the most loyal to the party to ensure that they don't pull a runner like this guy. So if this guy is one of the, you know, best, you know, of the best and best fed in the North Korean army, and he hasn't had, you know, in preparing for the escape of his life, he hasn't had a good meal. What does this tell you about the readiness of their military? Not good. I think at least what we've got going for it is that our GIs have, you know, get three meals a day, and an occasional Twinkie, you know, to boot. Are Twinkies back, by the way? I don't even know. I'm not a Twinkie guy, but I'm just saying there. You know, we have soldiers that are well fed, are ready for action, are battle ready. And we are led to believe, right? We're led to believe that not only do they have, you know, these functioning nukes and ICBM missiles and ability to target us, but they have this massive military that will crush any efforts of ours to take their country over if need be. I don't see it. I think that this guy, even at this point, if he croaks, I think at this point this is bad. This is not good for them. And their state of readiness. He will talk, by the way. He's eventually going to talk. Right now, he's only requested to watch Jim Carrey movies, and then he's in this, you know, PTSD. I don't know if Jim Carrey movies would be my way of getting out of PTSD. But, you know, to each his own. So he's watching movies and recovering. So it seems he's good. Won't he be an interesting guy for Intel to talk to? You betcha. I promise you that everybody and their mother in our intelligence community wants to talk to this guy. Because what he will get, very interesting, not many people come out of the Hermit Kingdom, and certainly not people that are high up in the party and high up in the military. So this is going to be an interesting opportunity for us to get a peek in. All right, Trump was in the news today, insulting, making racially insensitive comments to some poor Indian Navajo co-talkers. I'm going to have the quote and the reaction, or the sound bites and reactions. We come back, and obviously I will share with you my thoughts about this. Don't go anywhere. John Wolf up next with the news, and we'll be back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790. KABC.
Ah, welcome back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is the email. Yes, President Trump in the news today over remarks that he made during a ceremony at the White House honoring the Navajo co-talkers. Now, you know, these are the... guys in the military that use the Navajo language to send radio signals during World War II. And it just confounded the enemy because there's no way they could crack the code because the language was that different and just doesn't conform to any patterns of any kind. And this was an enormous, a tremendous asset to us as a country. You know, one thing in these military, big military conflicts, cracking your opponent's code is probably the holy grail of intel. And we did it to the Germans. We cracked their code and could read all their messages, you know, la-di-da, we know exactly what you're doing, and we proceed to sink all their battleships. It's very much like the game, if you're familiar with that. So I set all this up to say there's a few living members of this group, the Greatest Generation, and Trump, he's there, he's got them in the White House, he's given them an award, everything's great, and he just couldn't help himself and had to... Well, I'll have you listen to what he said here in his own words.
I just want to thank you because you're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here. Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you because you are special. You are special people. You are really incredible people, and I have to, from the heart, from the absolute heart, we appreciate what you've done, how you've done it, the bravery that you displayed, and the love that you have for your country. Tom, I would say that's as good as it gets.
It's just Trump. It's classic Trump. He's delivering remarks that are, now I understand if you're the media, you think that this guy is Satan. That he's got pointed horns, cloven hoof, and a bifurcated tail. So you're reading, listening to everything that he says with like venom, you know, squirting out of your eyes and your wherever. But let me just give this to you factually, okay? I'll just read this very plainly. I want to thank you because you're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here. Which is true about Native Americans. Although we have a representative of Congress, and here he puts a dig in again of Elizabeth Warren, who is politically a pain in Trump's rear end. She is. I mean, they're at it, okay? And she's fighting him on the tax plan, and so he puts a dig on her, and it all goes back to Elizabeth Warren falsely claiming that she was a Native American and Indian, so she could get a job. This is it. You've got a white lady claiming that she's Native American in order to get preferential treatment by her employer, namely Harvard Law School. That's what this joke is all about. And when she attacked him during the campaign, he called her Pocahontas and then he called her Focahontas, which, by the way, I thought was even funnier. So anyway, after that dig... goes, but you know what? I like you. He's speaking to the honorees because you are special. You're special people. You are really incredible people from the heart, from the absolute heart. We appreciate what you've done, how you've done it, and the bravery you displayed and the love you have for your country. Let me tell you something about Trump. Let me decipher Trump for you. Of all the things you say about Trump, Trump loves the vets, okay? He genuinely is a guy that from his heart loves veterans, loves the military. I don't think he meant them any disrespect. I'm not saying this is going to get accused of being a Trump apologist. This is Trump. This is his stream of consciousness. That's what this is. He's delivering sincere thoughts. In the middle of it, he throws his dig out at Senator Warren. It's Trump. You're not going to do anything with that. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
Talk Radio. 790
KABC. Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy that you need to call if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, bear mauling accident. You just heard Jillian Barbary talking about it. You never know. Things get crazy out there. You could be in Hollywood and a bear could maul you. A real bear or a fake bear, whatever they were talking about. My point is, if you get hurt, you need to have a name. You've got to have a guy to call and make that guy Sweet James Bergner. Phone number. It's so easy. Keep this handy. 800-881-2021. You've heard Jillian talk about him. James really is that guy that Jillian is describing. Easy to talk to, down to earth. He's there in the office every day. It's not like a nameless, faceless thing. You know, he's there. He's working. Great team of people around him, and they're there to help you. Don't go at it alone. It's not a do-it-yourself project. Call him. and him or his team will help you. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Wahoo! Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are making radio great again, providing analysis steps ahead of the mainstream chatter. Oh, I have a news story here. Well, let me start with this first. Remember I was talking about North Korea earlier this hour? I was talking about North Korea. We had the soldier that defected from the front lines right there on the DMZ, supposedly the best fed, strongest, most best equipped troops that North Korea has. The guy is starving. He's got parasites and he's had nothing to eat. Not good if the rest of the army looks anywhere like that or possibly even worse. Well, here's the country that we fear. We always talk about China. This great country that at any minute is going to completely devour us. You know, they're just waiting to basically swallow America whole. Well, they have a new president. You know, you've been following this, President Xi Jinping. Now, this is the guy who's really consolidating power, and he's going to become, I think, one of the great, supposedly as the story goes, he's going to become one of the great leaders of in Chinese history. Well, the country that is so far ahead of us and so sophisticated and is ready to eat our lunch, they don't have toilets. Chinese leader Xi Jinping declares a toilet revolution, says that the country needs to improve overall quality of life by improving toilets. Now, if you've been to China, you know the toilets are terrible. As soon as you get outside of, you know, Western hotels and the like. These are worse than squatty potties. yeah, this is Robbie's slogan. Join the Communist Party. I love it. Yes. Well, my point is who's catching up to who? At least we've got toilets. And there's more, you know, a lot of what's happening in China is there's a frighteningly huge bubble there. If you are an economist or follow, you know, economic news, you realize it's funny money in China. And it's not backed up by anything real. And manufacturing, there's a real risk of manufacturing leaving now for less expensive places like, well, for example, Vietnam, that's a country that's taking off. And China's in a mad scramble to modernize as well. So just, you know, a lot of what you hear in the media is simplified to the point of hyperbole, right? Because hyperbole sells. Hyperbole is exciting. Oh, you know, North Korea, their military is so mighty, they're going to trample us, you know, and China, their economy is so mighty, they're going to get us. And meanwhile, the poor guys, they don't even have proper toilets. How can you be in business if you can't do your business? So I think it's an important point. Anyway, I can't help myself. All right. Let's break now. We'll take a break. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Was I unfair to China? Am I going to get some hate mail? Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So I was mentioning China, you know, this feared rival, really, Pacific Rim rival of ours, you know, across the great pond of the Pacific. And, but I mentioned too that you know, as formidable as they might seem from this distance, that they're a country that is struggling with some problems, one of them being that they, you know, don't have proper toilets. And their president has to get up and say, you know, we need to improve our toilets. could we say that it's the number two problem in China? But anyway, I bring all this up to just say that I need to, we have some problems here in America too. I think is the proper time for me to, I had this in my stack here and I never had a good opportunity to share it. So I'm going to do it right now. This in the Daily Mail Online, which is a British publication. Americans are not properly cleaning their anuses. Doctors warn toilet paper does little to remove feces, and we should all be using wet wipes. This is serious, by the way. This is serious. Apparently, there's a health epidemic because we're not cleaning our bottoms properly. And look. I read this. It's end of the show. This is our usually a little bit of a lighter, segment here. Where we take a break from politics and we discuss nasty stuff of a different variety. I think my assessment of this article is very simple, and it boils down to this: if you got a little bit of poo on your hand or any other part of you, would you wipe it off with a dry piece of tissue paper, or would you immediately run it under the hottest, most scalding water you could bear and use, copious amounts of soap and whatnot to remove the matter from you? The answer is yes, of course, you would do that unless, you were something was, actually wrong with you. So it is interesting, and I will tell you, who is, when we talk about countries that are miles ahead of us, if you have ever been to Japan, their toilets are insanely epic. These are toilets that most toilets in Japan, as soon as you go any place that is somewhat nice, they have these toilet seats that have little spray nozzles and little blowers. And I mean, I'm not going to get into too many details, but very high tech toilets that solve this problem easily. And they haven't taken off here, partly because they're tremendously expensive. And the Japanese are very particular about hygiene, so it's a big seller over there. So you kind of have the heaven and hell. You've got the Chinese don't really have real toilets, and the Japanese have toilets that go way beyond the call of duty. All right. I think the right segue here is from... Oh, Sam, you didn't. But I did. Keith Olbermann has an announcement to make, and I will let him do it in his own words.
I'm confident now, even more so than I have been throughout the last year, that this nightmare presidency of Donald John Trump will end prematurely and end soon. And I am thus also confident that this is the correct moment to end this series of commentaries. And we, I think, should try to put ourselves in the mindset of those Americans who knew Richard Nixon was guilty as hell, but were all left wondering if there would ever be a way to prove it. How would he ever be dumb enough to leave any evidence of his guilt? And 16 days later, it turned out virtually everything in the Oval Office had been taped, and the ballgame was over. Well, this ballgame is also over, and so this series is over. No illness, no scandal, no firing, just I've said what I've had to say. And I think even this dim-witted world of American political TV reporting, which is still calculating how to get Trump's idiot supporters to watch their networks, even it can carry this the rest of the way. So I am retiring from political commentary in all media venues. Have fun storming the castle. My work here is done. Matter of fact, so is Trump's. Resist. Remove. Peace.
Every village has an idiot, and there's one somewhere, wherever Keith Olbermann is from, that is searching for theirs. Don't worry, he's on his way back to you. Let me tell you why he's retiring. It's for none of the reasons that he lists. He's retiring because this resistance thing is starting to just wear thin. Nobody cares anymore. Trump's president. People are telling Hillary to get over it. Liberals are telling Hillary to get over it. They're coming to terms with Trump being here. He's not going away. There is no smoking gun. There isn't anything. And it's just not selling anymore. I'm guaranteed this wasn't his decision, by the way. GQ, even as leftist and crazy as they are, just came to the realization that they didn't want this crazy guy hanging around anymore. All right, tomorrow we are on after the Kings game. It'll be a little bit late. It won't be right at 7 o'clock. So please tune in, listen to the end of the Kings game commentary. I'm going to be on right afterwards. Sam Rejofsky, over and out.